anointing and your presence that is so evident in this house. Thank you for inhabiting the praises of your people. Now, Father, I ask that tonight you'll show yourself to be the mighty God of Israel, that you'll move in this house with demonstration and power. Father, let tonight be the night of a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost in this house. We came for revival, and we've determined we will not leave without what we came seeking. Father, let that spirit come on this church, that spirit that came on Jacob, that said, I will not leave without what I came seeking. In the mighty name of Jesus of Nazareth. One more time, would you give God praise in this house? Hallelujah. 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 I feel good tonight in the house of God. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you. Let me start off by thanking you. Thank you for worshiping God the way He's worthy to be praised. I have an organist here from Worship with Wonders. He can go ahead and take his place as well in Jesus' name. I am thankful that you came and worshiped God the way He's worthy to be praised tonight. Because your praise, as we talked about yesterday, your praise has been like a magnet. And it's pulled heaven down to the earth. I feel heaven in this place tonight. I feel God in this place tonight. And I know that when heaven shows up, anything and everything is possible. Amen. I'm traveling with 2/5 of my children, Michael and Zachary. I don't know where Zachary went. He's somewhere there. Zachary, wave at everybody. That's how he waves. Michael, wave at everybody. That's how she waves. And thankful for them. My wife was supposed to be with me, couldn't make it. She's battling a 103-degree fever that hasn't gone away. So I'm going to go home and be the preacher here. And then tomorrow I'll be the male nurse that takes care, make sure she gets better tomorrow. Amen. And I'm thankful for friends that are here tonight. Pastor Daryl and Pastor Kristen have been my friends for a long time. Well, Pastor Daryl's been my friend for a long time. Pastor Chris and I just like became friends a little while. I'm just kidding. We've all been friends a long time. But your pastor has been with me in the highs and the lows, the goods and the bads. He sat hours and hours with me in hospital rooms. He's been with me in the best of times. We've ate a lot of steak together. I'm not going to lie. He and I haven't had a lot of salads together. We haven't done a lot of Daniel Fest together, but my God, have we killed the Nebuchadnezzar Fest together. Ribeyes, it doesn't matter. If it's steak, we eat it. We've been to the best steak houses in America together, and I'm thankful for him. I'm thankful for his gifting, his calling. You ought to consider yourself blessed that God in his divine providence brought the Hoopers to pastor the church at Covington. Amen. Can't be accident, can't be coincidence. It had to be God. It was ordained of the Holy Spirit, and I'm so excited to see what God has done in a year and a few months, and what God is going to do, what God's about to do in this church. I feel revival. I don't think revival isn't just a set of services. I feel revival in the house. I feel the spirit of Pentecost in this house, and I'm thankful for what I feel. You're going to build on it, grow, and I can't wait to come back, because when I come back, I'm going to see those that are still living in the faith. And we're going to see new people that have joined the family of God. And so I'm thankful and expectant for what we're going to see. I'm very thankful to have my good friends, Pastors Miles and Delana Rutherford, with us tonight from Worship with Wonders Church. And the entire crew that's here, Lincoln, Brooklyn's husband. I'm kidding. I just like going to the last time and say it that way. And the whole crew that came from Worship with Wonders. And then Pastor Tony Baldwin is here visiting us as well. God bless you. Thankful that you're here tonight. And let me tell you, it's something good when the body of Christ can come together. Something good about fellowship. When a church is having meetings or whatever, and everyone can just come together worshiping the same God. I mean, we got the same Father. We might as well come to the same Thanksgiving dinner. Have you ever been in one of those families where you got to have 3 Thanksgivings because no one can get along? Thank God the body of Christ ain't that way. We got the same Father. We speak the same language. We might as well feast and celebrate in the same house when possible. Amen. So I'm thankful for what God is going to do. I wrote a book. It's entitled The Triumphant Church. It's available in the back. I got five kids. Please buy the book. I'm just kidding. It is available in the back. The book is $15. My wife recorded a CD. My wife is bad to the bone. My wife can sing. And not just because I'm biased and partial and married her, but I'm telling you, before I married her, when she declined my friend request three times on Facebook, I could have told you then. She didn't decline. She just didn't accept it. But I could have told you then that that girl could sing. Her CD is available out there. She sells it for $15. I get you the hookup because she's not here. I get you $5 if you buy the book. I'm kidding. If you buy both together, they're $20. Michael, wave your hand again. She's out there selling so that she's going to, you know, poor pathetic face. She'll be like, feed the children. So she'll be out there as well. Those books, the books and the CD are available. Thank you in advance. Thank you for everything you've done. Whoever cooked that pound cake and put almond frosting on it, may the Lord bless you, multiply, and prosper you about beyond measure. May there be, whoever made the banana pudding, I speak double portion on your house in the mighty name of Jesus. And that buffalo chicken dip, I fell out. Pastor Hooper had to catch me in the green room. Whoever made that, may the Lord increase you. May you write a best-selling book about buffalo chicken dip. My God in heaven, was it good? Even the water was good. Even the water was good here. Y'all didn't just bring tap water. You brought Fiji water to the house. I'm like, Jesus, this is a good church when you got bougie water. So thank you for you. Thank you for what you're doing for the body of Christ. Amen. I feel good. I feel good. I don't know what hit me. Something around 4 o'clock hit me. And Gina said, you're hyper. I said, I feel like revival. She said, no, I just think you're hyper. What? It's either hyperness or the Holy Ghost. But I feel good in the house of the Lord. Father, open our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, and our minds to discern what thus saith the word of the Lord. And I ask that tonight you'll confirm your word with signs, miracles, and wonders. And when we leave this house, we'll say, surely, we've been in the presence of the Lord, and I ask that tonight, God, you would send the Holy Ghost to baptize this house in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. I've told you three services in a row. I have been raised in Pentecost. I've been raised in church. This is all I've ever known, and I've been around great moves of God. I've seen God do wonderful and mighty things. One of the first times I met your pastor was in the late 90s in Honduras at a pastors gathering in Honduras, and there was about 1,500 pastors that had gathered from Central America. And it was interesting to me, even though I was a teenager at the time, they were coming and they were inviting people from the U.S. to preach to them. But these people were seeing things that our eyes had never seen. They had experienced things that we had never seen, and their hunger for the move of God, their hunger for Pentecost, their hunger for the baptism of the Holy Spirit was unlike anything we had experienced in our life. Pastor Cooper could tell you the stories of going into these countries and seeing thousands of people baptized in the Holy Ghost within minutes. I'm not talking about days. I'm not talking about a series of meetings. I'm talking about within minutes. I remember 1997 or 96, I visited El Salvador for the first time. Friends of ours were missionaries to that country, and they invited us to this conference they were putting on. There was 20,000 people in the stadium in San Salvador, and they prayed, and the man that was leading the service is like 7 feet tall. Well, you know, everybody's tall to me. I mean, I don't know. He's probably 5'9", but he looked like he's 7 foot to me. But he prayed, and he said, oh God, I ask you to send the Holy Spirit and let it fall like rain upon this house. And when he prayed that prayer before God, it sounded like there was a thunderstorm. It sounded like rain. It's just beating on the tin roof of that stadium. It sounded like, I mean, I was raised in Chicago. I'd never seen a hurricane. It sounded like torrential rain. And being the nosy person that I am, I left the stadium to, my God, stuff's already falling out. So I left the stadium because I wanted to see this rainstorm. And when I went outside, there was no clouds. There was no rain. There was nothing. But when you go back in the stadium, you'd hear it again. So I took a friend of mine. His name's Jeremy Dowdy. Jeremy and I, because he heard it too, we went looking. We couldn't find the rain outside. And when we came back in the stadium, there was just this little old Salvadorian preacher came walking to us trembling. And he said, ustedes están buscando la lluvia. Are you looking for the rain? I said, yeah, I can't find it. He goes, oh, you're looking in the wrong place. It's not raining out there. It's raining in here. He said, this is the rain of the Holy Ghost. What I'm telling you is that the manifestation of the Spirit of God was so strong that it felt and sounded like literal rain was falling in that stadium. And I watched. I wasn't preaching. I had nothing to do with the ministry. I watched as 4,000 people were baptized in the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues within maybe a 15-minute span. I had never seen anything like that in my life, and it made me hungry. It made me hungry. And I'd hear about people that would go to Africa and preach, and they'd see 100,000 be baptized in the Holy Spirit, or 250,000. I mean, I couldn't compute these numbers in my head. And I mean, And you'd hear about 300 here and 500 here, and God's doing this in Papua New Guinea, and God's doing this in Ethiopia, and God's doing this in India. And it provoked a jealousy inside of me. Not a bad jealousy, a holy jealousy, a sanctified jealousy, because I was tired about talking about what God was doing there, 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 and there. I would sit down with my grandfather when I'd go to Colombia, and my grandfather would tell me about how God would save them when they were persecuted. The government in Colombia in the 50s was so anti-Protestant that they sanctioned for gangs to blow up churches and to kill pastors. And my family tells me the stories about how in the 50s they would be having church and someone would throw a bomb through the window. And I said, "My God, what did you do? Did you call 911? What did you do?" And my grandmother said, the ladies would just kind of gather around the bomb, and we'd speak at it in the name of Jesus, and we'd speak in other tongues. And I said, "What would happen?" She said, "The bomb would just turn off. It just wouldn't do anything. We'd kick it out the door, and we'd keep having church." And I said, "God, I don't want to just read about that. I don't just want to hear about that. I want to see that with my own eyes. I want to be a part of that." I'm not talking about something weird. I'm not talking about something kooky. I'm not talking about something that you can't prove. I want to see an authentic, real move of God. My God, your Bible is full of stories of him multiplying bread and fishes. Your Bible is full of stories of a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire leading people, and the prophet saying it'll rain, and then the prophet saying it will rain, and the dead coming back to life, and God doing this and God doing that. And then it says, and then Jesus said, "The things that I do, so shall you do, and yea, things greater than these." And then we don't see the miracles that we read about. It provoked something inside of me. I got tired. People were writing songs about what God was doing in Africa, and I said, "My God, I want someone to write a song about what he's doing in my church." I was hungry. I was hungry for a move of God. I was hungry to see the baptism of the Holy Ghost and its power, its demonstration, and its evidence in my generation. The church was getting nostalgic. If you look at the Christian church, maybe just about 10 years ago, we were getting real nostalgic. We just kept talking about what God did and what God did in years past. And even some of us were guilty about always complaining, saying, "We don't pray like we used to. We don't sing like we used to. We don't give like we used to." We were so stuck in what God did. But how many people here know that he's not just the God of yesterday? He's the God of yesterday, today, and forevermore. I'm not after a God that only blessed yesterday. I'm looking for the God that blesses yesterday, today, and forevermore. If he did it for my grandparents and he did it for my parents, I believe he'll do it for me as well, and I believe he'll do it for my children. So it launched a hunger on the inside of me. I was hungry for a move of God. I was hungry for Pentecost. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm not talking about denominations. I'm not even talking about theology. I'm talking about, I wanted the experience of Pentecost. I wanted that same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead to be alive on the inside of me. For it is written, "Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of you?" Well, when I read my Bible, that Holy Ghost did not ever show up somewhere just to occupy space. But when the Holy Ghost shows up, demons travel, and the devil has to go, and sickness has to go. And if that power's on the inside of me, I want to see the evidence of that power. So I'm pastoring a church in Virginia, and everything is going wrong in the church. Nothing's going right. And I go to a camp meeting, because that's where Pentecostals go when you need help. You go to camp meeting. Some people go to rehab, I go to camp meeting. And a man says, "You need to pray." He said, "There's a pastor here struggling. And you need to pray and say, 'Oh God, give me a Book of Acts church. I did it.'" God said, "You need to read the Book of Acts." I said, "God, it's the only book in the Bible I've ever read. I'm Pentecostal. It's the only one there." I started reading the Book of Acts with new eyes. I saw things I'd never seen before. Acts chapter 1, they don't know how to wait on the promise of the Father. Jesus commands them to go to Jerusalem and wait. And while they're waiting, they decide to start naming leaders. Well, you know what? We got to do something about Jesus. We need to name a leader. Well, how did Jesus name you? Well, he just told me to follow him. I started following you. Well, where did you come from? Well, I saw Peter walking, so I just started following Peter. Where'd you come? I was fishing, and he said something about fishing men. I thought it was kind of cool, so I got in line too. They don't know how to name leaders. But rather than wait on the promise of the Father, they were commanded to wait. They're commanded to wait. But they get impatient in the waiting, and so they name a leader. They say, well, we're going to have to draw straws. Some people say it's an election. Other people say it was the luck of the straw. One way or another, they pick out this man named Matthias. I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I don't want to get to heaven and Matthias be like, my man, how come you're talking so much junk against me? So, like, I mean, God bless you, Matthias. But I'm just saying, they named him, and then you never read about him again. So they don't know how to wait on the Lord, and there's already leadership problems in the church. Acts chapter 2, they're not relevant to society. They're mocked when the Holy Ghost falls. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John go to church, and there's a man who needs money. And what do Peter and John say? Silver and gold have we none. It's only the third chapter of the book of Acts, and it turns out the ministry's already broke. There's no gold, there's no silver, there's no money. Acts chapter 4, Peter and John preach so good, they get thrown in jail. Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira lie to the man of God and to the Holy Ghost, and they drop dead. Could you imagine that? Welcome to the house of the Lord. We're so glad to have you here. Thank you for coming, but don't lie because you will die. Acts chapter 6, the Bible says in that day, the number of disciples was multiplied. That's called revival. I read that. I'm like, hey, this is revival right here. This one is about to get good. Bible says in that day, the number of disciples was multiplied, and so was the murmuring, because more money, more problems. No, not more money, more problems. More people, more problems. Now and look what they're complaining about. They're complaining about who's more blessed, who gets their blessing first. They're so blessed that now they're complaining about the blessing, because when you got a complaining spirit, when you got one of those spirits, that when you're just a critical person, I mean, when you're just one of those people who's got criticized, it doesn't matter how blessed you are, how good things are, you'll still find something to complain about. You'll complain about the cold weather, and then when it gets hot, you'll complain that it's too hot. When it's raining, you'll complain that it's raining, and then when it's not raining, you'll complain that we're in a drought. I mean, people that like to complain are just complain. And so these people are blessed, but now they're so blessed that they're complaining about the blessing. Then Acts chapter 7, Stephen, the great evangelist, is killed for preaching the gospel. Hey, join the church. Why do you think I don't use the term evangelist? I don't get killed. Acts chapter 8, Simon the sorcerer sees that by the laying on of hands, people are receiving the Holy Ghost. He says, how much is that? Now you got corruption in the body of Christ. Acts chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus becomes the Apostle Paul. He has an incredible conversion experience between him and Jesus Christ himself. And when the church finds out that Saul of Tarsus has supposedly converted, they said, nah, no way he can be saved. He's too lost. You don't know him like I know him. You don't know the stuff he's done. There's no way that man could be saved. Now we got legalism in the church because they're judging each other's salvations. And then in Acts chapter 10, the Spirit of God comes to Peter and says, I want you to go preach at Cornelius' house. And Brother Peter said, no, I don't preach to those people. We got segregation, racism, and bigotry in the house of the Lord. And it's only the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. And when I got to Acts chapter 10, I closed my Bible and said, Lord, I don't need a book of Acts, church. Give me Laodicea. I mean, I know you're going to spit it out, but it's a lot cooler than this. You keep reading. The apostle goes to preach in a church, and he's so boring, the young person falls asleep in the window and drops dead out the window. The book ends in a shipwreck. And I read all of that, and then God said, read it again. I'm like, no, please, no more, please. Like, I know I'm Latino, and I like telenovelas. I know I like the soap operas, but good God, no more. He said, read it again. Acts chapter 1 is the promise of the Father. Acts chapter 2 is the fulfillment of the promise of the Father. Acts chapter 3, there's healing. Acts chapter 4, there's mass miracles. Acts chapter 5, there's mass, I'm sorry, Acts chapter 4, there's evangelization. Acts chapter 5, there's mass miracles. Acts chapter 6, there's abundance and prosperity. Acts chapter 7, there's mass salvation. Acts chapter 8, there's signs and wonders. Acts chapter 9, the gospel is now coming to another group. Acts chapter 10, you and I come in there because the gospel has now gone from the house of Israel Israel, to all of Judea, and yea, even those that are afar off. What I'm trying to explain to you is that every chapter, the book of Acts, has drama, has corruption, has lying, has disease. Deceit and disease has problems, but every chapter, the book of Acts, has signs, miracles, and wonders, and multiplication, and abundance, and prosperity, and blessing, and salvation. And I asked myself, I said, well, God, how is the 21st century church any different than the first century church? And God said, there's no difference. They're not fighting anything today that they didn't have to fight back then, but the church is built upon the promise that the gates of hell shall not, cannot, and will not prevail against the church. Hell has been trying to kill this church for 21 centuries, but he didn't succeed for 20 centuries. And if he didn't do it over the last 20 centuries, then no weapon formed against us in the 21st century shall prosper either. We are more than conquerors. We're a triumphant, victorious church. Give God praise in this house. So I read that. See, I get around successful people, not so that I can just partake, but I want to learn. You want to learn how to have wealth? Hang around wealthy people. Anybody can talk to you about money, but hang around somebody that has, that you can see the fruit of their labor. You can see that they're not in debt. Don't hang around with somebody that bought it. You know, I don't have enough time. Hang around with people. You see somebody that has wisdom, hang around with them if you want to learn. Learn what they're doing. So I like to hang around people. I want revival. So I like to hang around people that have revival. I want to see what they're doing. I want to see what they're doing. I asked my grandfather, I said, what was it about Columbia? What was it? And my grandfather, 91 years old when he passed away, he said, okay. He said, let me see your knees. And I said, huh? He said, let me see your knees. And he pulls up my pant leg. I'm like, hey, Grandpa, I'm holding this. You can't see my knees. He's like, no, let me see your knees. I'm teasing there. He touched my knees and he said, you don't pray enough. And then he pulled up his pant leg and he had a big old fat calloused on his knees. He said, you see this? This is revival. This is what he told me. He said, every morning at 4 a.m, and please, I'm not telling you, I'm not telling this entire church that you got to wake up at 4 a.m. and pray till you got callus on your knees. But I'm just telling you, he let me know. He said, Tony, every morning at 4 a.m, he said, I'm on these knees and I'm interceding for you and for your father and your mother and your brother. And I'm praying for your aunts and your uncles and your cousins. And I'm praying for your future. I'm praying that God uses you. I'm praying that people are healed when you pray for them. I'm praying that people are baptized in the Holy Ghost. Things that God are going to do tonight are the result of what my praying grandfather did before he passed away 22 years ago. It's because he prayed and he interceded and he believed. And this is what I learned about that church, and this is what I learned about the book of Acts. They were filled. Not only were they filled with the Holy Ghost, they stayed full of the Holy Ghost. Because being baptized in the Holy Ghost is not a one-time spiritual event that you put on a calendar as if it were your birthday. Being baptized in the Holy Ghost gives you access to a fountain of perpetual power that you are to access daily through prayer and through the reading of scripture, put to the pulling down of strongholds. God did not baptize you in the Holy Ghost to make you speak in tongues one time and then forget about it. God baptized you in the Holy Ghost so that every day you could walk in victory, every day you can walk in prosperity, every day you can walk declaring the kingdom of heaven on the earth. I don't want to just be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to stay full of the Holy Ghost. And the people of the book of Acts, they stayed full of the Holy Ghost. They wouldn't do anything without talking to the Holy Ghost. They wouldn't do anything if the Holy Ghost wasn't in it. Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We've said that. We've quoted that all of my life in Pentecost. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The Amplified Version of Acts 1:8 says you shall become capable, efficient, and mighty when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That revelation alone should tear down every stronghold of insecurity that exists in your line and in your bloodline. Every lie of the enemy that has told you that you're not qualified, that you're not holy enough, that you're not good enough, and that God can never use you. What I just told you about the Amplified Bible about Acts 1:8 should destroy every yoke of the enemy, because when the Holy Ghost comes on you, you become capable, you become efficient, and you will become mighty. That means that what you're doing for God God, Pastor Daryl and Pastor Kristen and the church at Covington and Worship with Wonders and Pastor Baldwin, what you're doing is not for naught. You're not wasting your time. You're not just spinning your wheels. You're not doing it in vain, but you are capable, you are efficient, and you are mighty because of the power of the Holy Ghost to tear down the strongholds of the enemy. God has filled you with power to establish the kingdom of heaven on this earth. Somebody give God praise today. I'm not preaching Pentecostal doctrine to you tonight. I'm preaching to you the truth of the Word of God. Everyone in this house ought to desire, ought to long, and ought to want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not because it makes you Pentecostal, but because it makes you joint heirs with Christ to the promises of God the Father. I want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost so that all the cattle that belongs on 1,000 hills to the Father belongs to me as well. I want to be joint heirs with Christ so that all the gold and the silver that is in his hands belongs to me as well. I want to be a part of the family of God through the power of the Holy Ghost. Give him praise in this house. The Bible says that it is the gift of the Holy Ghost. You don't beg for gifts. You don't have to, you don't, he doesn't tempt you with a gift. Forgive me, he would know a lot since you're Latino. This isn't a piñata from heaven that you're just kind of, you know. This is a gift of the Holy Ghost. There's no blindfold. He's told you it is here. It is on this earth. And he said it is available to you and to your children and to your children's children. And yea, even those that are far off. I did a service in Virginia to honor Israel, and I invited some local synagogues to be in the service with us. I instructed our people. I said, in honor of the Jewish community that is with us, we are going to sing songs about the mighty God of Israel. I said, but just for tonight, I said, we're not going to mention the name of Jesus. I said, we're honoring the same God. Let there be no mistake. We're honoring the God of Israel. This is Jehovah God. This is Yahweh. We're going to worship God. I said, but since they don't know what I know yet, that Jesus is the Son of the living God, God manifest in the flesh, I said, just for tonight. Well, the problem is that my people, when I mean my people, I'm not talking about La Raza. I'm talking about my people. I'm talking about spirit-filled people. You can't contain their praise. If you ever meet somebody that's really, truly full of the Holy Ghost, you can't stop them from praising God because their praise is not governed by a rhythm. It's not governed by a song. It's not governed by emotion. It is governed by the Holy Ghost. That's why you'll see, there's some people, you ever see them? If the song touches them in Walgreens, they'll be like, hey, because they're just so full of the Holy Ghost. And so we did this service. We're singing about the mighty God of Israel. And my people come out of the pews and they start dancing. I mean, we're dancing church. So, you know, they're dancing. They didn't know how to hoop yet, but they were dancing church. We were kind of dancing church, you know. And so while they're dancing, what happened was our Jewish brothers and sisters, when they saw that, they were moved. They came out of the pews and they took us by their hands, and we started dancing in circles like you've ever seen. And so next thing I know, we're all like kicking, you know, like dun, 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 dun. I'm not making fun. I'm just saying, like, we're kicking and we're doing circles. We're doing all kinds of stuff. And I'm watching one of the rabbis that was there. Rabbi has he's just standing there, but a tear's coming down. I'm thinking, God, I hope we haven't offended him. I hope we haven't done anything crazy. And when we got in the when we got back in my office, he was always very proper, very formal. He said, Reverend, might I ask you a question? And I said, you may. He said, when you all began to dance tonight, there was an electricity in the room. He said, there was an electricity in the room. He said it like that, that passion. He goes, there was an electricity in the room. Something, there's some kind of energy in that room. He said, what was it? I felt like the Apostle Peter. I said, Rabbi, can I be frank? He said, you may. I said, Rabbi, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel when he said, when God said, in the last day, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. I just started speaking to him. And he said, Reverend, this is that? I said, Rabbi, this is that. This is the Holy Ghost. This is the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. I said, it's inside of this church. What you call energy, what you call electricity, I call it the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I said, this is what you've been waiting for, Rabbi. This is what the prophet Joel told you would come one day. It is available to us. It is the fountain of the power of the living God, and it is available to everyone. This isn't Pentecostal. This isn't charismatic. This is available to every believer. If you've put your faith in Jesus Christ and you've confessed him to be your Lord and Savior, then your inheritance is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why would you want to live without the Holy Ghost? What is the Holy Ghost? It's the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. The Bible says, know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of you. That means that same spirit that 2,000 years ago crept around rocks in a grave in Jerusalem and raised the Son of God from the dead back to life, that same spirit that could raise Jesus from the dead now lives on the inside of you. Now, ladies and gentlemen of this jury, if that spirit could raise the Son of God back to life, imagine what it can raise you out of. It can raise you out of poverty. It can raise you out of sickness. It can raise you out of a curse. I want the Holy Ghost to baptize you until it brings you out of the tomb, brings you out of depression, brings you out of a dry church. I want it to baptize you until you say, my family is baptized in revival. Give them praise. And it is written, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And a friend of mine said, Tony, don't you forget who the church is. I said, I know it's the church of the living God. She said, no. You are the church. She said, when Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, he was not talking about buildings. He wasn't talking about organizations, denominations, and corporations. He was talking about you. You ought to take that promise and apply it to your life. The gates of hell shall not prevail against me. The gates of hell shall not prevail against my family. The gates of hell shall not prevail against my marriage. The gates of hell shall not prevail against my money. The gates of hell shall not prevail against this ministry. The gates of hell shall not prevail against my children, because we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Give him praise. Say, why are you so passionate? Because of those five babies that God has given me. Three that I had and two that he added. I'm passionate because it's my responsibility to make sure that they learn about the Holy Ghost. If I don't talk about it, if I don't preach about it, if I don't demonstrate it, they won't know anything about it. One of the most important sermons I've ever heard in my life, I heard Pastor Jensen Franklin preach a sermon. And he said that when a culture dies, the last thing that the culture loses, it's its language. As soon as a language dies, a culture is kaput. It's gone. Finito. El fin. Punto y fin. It's over. It's done. When you lose the cult, once you lose the language, you lose recipes, you lose tales, you lose stories, you lose even things like weaponry. You lose it when you lose the language. And Pentecost dies when the church lets go of the language of the Spirit. When we stop speaking in other tongues and we stop talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and we stop talking about the supernatural, it could die. I don't want to be responsible to stand before heaven and it be said that Pentecost died in my generation. I'm convicted about this stuff. I don't want my kids to go on YouTube and see Pentecostal services or see. I don't want Zach to turn on YouTube or whatever replaces YouTube in 20 years. I don't want him to go on there and him see this video of us here at the church at Covington and him say, Daddy, what was that stuff? What was that? What were those people doing in the altar? God forbid it to happen. I don't want it to die. I want my children to know that the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, that's been alive for 20 centuries in the church, is still alive in the 21st century. It's still alive at the church at Covington. And now I speak the prophetic word of the Lord to this specific house. Your greatest days are not 20 years ago, 30 years ago, but yea, the Lord will say they are in front of you. And the Lord says, reestablish this altar as an altar where I can answer with fire, says the Spirit of God. Let this be an altar where I can send the fire. Give me a sacrifice, says the Lord, that I can consume. The Lord says, give me a sacrifice that I can consume, and I will send the fire from heaven once again, saith the Lord. Give him praise in this house. Stand with me tonight. Musicians, come. Organists, don't leave. Get it churchy. Not yet. When I make the altar call, get it upbeat tonight. My family's testimony. I've told you a lot of family stories the last few days. Jesus' ministry, he told a lot of parables. He spoke in parables. What's a parable? A relevant story that has a meaning you can relate to. I tell the testimonies of my family. Somebody gave my grandfather a Bible in 1952. He wasn't a believer yet. And they gave him a Bible. And he came home and he read with my family, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He had 11 kids. He read the Bible with them. And they got to the book of Acts. And the missionary that gave him the Bible was transferred to another part of the country. There was no one to interpret what he was reading. So my grandfather said, so maybe this will help you understand why I'm so passionate about it. My grandfather told my grandmother, I want the promise of the Father. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what it is exactly, but I want it. He said, so let's copy what they did. And maybe if we do what they did, we'll get what they had. It's my grandfather. Bible says in the book of Acts, they were to wait on the promise of the Father. Bible says they went to an upper room where they tarried. Tarried means they waited. And while waiting in prayer, Bible says in that book of Acts chapter 2, that suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind that filled the house where they were sitting. Bible says cloven tongues appeared upon them, and they were all baptized in the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. And when it fell, my grandfather read this. He saw what happened when it fell. He said, I want it. I don't know how you get it, but I want it. He said, let's copy what they did. So he took my uncles and aunts and my dad, and they went to a mountain in Barranca Bermeja, Colombia, and they prayed. And he said, we're not leaving the mountain till God gives us the promise of the Father. And while they were praying, and I know some, and ladies and gentlemen, I know it's hard, some of it because we've become so analytical and cynical. Some of it, I get it. But Lord, help us to walk in faith again where we just believe in the supernatural. My uncle Raphael, who was 8 years old at the time, in that prayer and fasting, because my grandfather was fanatic, he made the kids fast. While they were fasting, my uncle, who was 8 years old, saw an angel. And the angel told my uncle, go to the city of Bucaramanga, to this street and this street number, because my servant is waiting to tell you what to do. When my uncle told my grandfather that, they thought he was making mockery. The angel appeared again and said, tell them. And so they said, well, let's see. They made the journey, which is several hours. They got to Bucaramanga, and they found that street. They walked down that street. They knocked on the door. A missionary from England named William Thompson opened the door. He said, God told me you were coming. And he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to my family. He let them know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And that day the Suarez family bent their knees and confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They repented of their sins, and Brother Thompson took them down to the river, and he baptized them in the wonderful, matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. And God baptized my family in the Holy Ghost and with fire. And my generations have never been the same again because of one supernatural encounter that a grandfather had in South America in 1952. too. My children are the remnants of what God did with my grandfather in 1952. And I speak as the prophet of the Lord to this house that there are some people in this room just like my grandfather. You are like my grandfather's name was Eli. You are an Eli. You are an Abraham in your family. And God says, what I want to give you tonight and what I want to baptize you in tonight is so powerful and so mighty. It will last for generations to come. For the Lord says, I did not come just to save you. I came to save your children and your children's children and your children's children's children. And yea, even those that are afar off, the Spirit of the living God is here tonight to break the generational curse of poverty, to break the generational curse of witchcraft, to break the every generational curse that has existed. There's a family here. There's someone here that everyone in your family gets divorced. But I say that tonight, through the power of the Holy Ghost, that curse will end now in Jesus' name. It will never afflict your family again through the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost that's in this house. I'm hungry. I'm hungry to see it happen here. Here. I don't want to talk about what God's doing in Africa. I don't mean that in a wrong way. I just don't want to have to talk about what he's doing everywhere else. I want to talk about what he's doing in my house. I want to talk about what he's doing in my family. I want to talk about what he's doing in my church. And I won't let Pentecost die. Zachary and Michael came off the bus the other day. We were still in Virginia a few months ago. They come off the bus singing some crazy song. I'm not a prude, okay? But I'm just like, the blood of Jesus. I'm like, where did you learn that song? And I'm like, the bus. I can't control what they hear on the bus. I don't know what they hear, but I need to make sure that in my house they hear the Holy Ghost. I need to make sure that when they're with me, they hear the sound of Pentecost. I need to make sure that they hear the things of the Spirit. That's why this revival was so important. That's why I thank you for coming out on a Monday night, because we've taken our children to ball games. We've taken our kids to Braves games. We've taken them to watch the Falcons. We've taken them to their Little League games and their Pee Wee football games and to volleyball and to cheerleading. It's time that we remember we got to bring our kids to the house of God to make sure that they're baptized with the fire and the power from on high. I want my children to know that not only does their dad speak in other tongues, they need to have it as well. I don't want Holy Ghost power. Make no mistake, there's been some weird, kooky stuff in the church that we needed to get rid of. Okay, we got to get rid of that stuff. But don't you lose the power. Don't you lose the only thing that keeps this church afloat. Don't you lose that. Because the moment you lose the Holy Ghost, you lose the resurrection power of Christ. God gave you the Holy Ghost so that every day when you wake up, you could speak to the Holy Ghost and say, what shall I do today? You shouldn't take a step without asking the Holy Ghost, guide me. You shouldn't make a business decision without saying, Holy Ghost, lead me. You don't get married without saying, Holy Ghost, bring me. You don't buy anything without saying, Holy Ghost, lead me. That's what he's there for. And I close with this. If it were not enough that he gave you power, he gave you a language. He gave you a language. He gave you a language. He gave you a prayer language. And you know what I learned about speaking in tongues? The devil can't speak in tongues. Forgive me for being a little bit of a nerd, but it's almost like the Father and I have secret code. The Bible says that when you know not what to pray for, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for you. When you're going through something and you've just run out of words, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit, because the Spirit makes intercession for you. The Spirit knows what you need. The Spirit cries out to says, Abba, Father. The Spirit cries out to God and knows what you need. And you're protected from the enemy, because the enemy won't know what you're praying about. The enemy won't know what you're saying. That's why when I pray over my children, I pray in other tongues. When I pray over my money, I pray in other tongues. I pray in the Holy Ghost, because God gave me a heavenly language. Now, don't let cynicism and legalism creep into your mind because I said that. And say, well, did you just say I'm going to hell if I didn't speak in tongues today? I didn't say that. But I'm asking you, why would you not want to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Why would you not want the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead? Why would you not want the experience when it's available to you? I want it. I want it. And God has promised me through his word that tonight, if there's people that are hungry for a fresh touch or for a new touch of the Holy Ghost, through his word, he has promised, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. It's the only qualifier for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you had to be holy, I'd have to quit. It says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. If you're flesh, you qualify. So this is how I want to do this altar call tonight. I know there are people here tonight that have never experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost, especially with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. This promise is unto you. And with respect, not putting the pressure on you, but if you say, Suarez, I'm here tonight, I hear you. I've never spoken in other tongues. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I've never spoken in other tongues, but I want it tonight. If that's you, at the count of three, would you just raise your hand? One, two, three. Is there anyone? There's hands that are being lifted high. There's hands. All right. I'm a no-pressure preacher. I promise you, I'm no pressure. If you just raised your hand, would you join me right here in the middle? Would you just join me right here? Nothing. I promise you, we're not going to. I just want to pray with you. I just want to pray with you. Look at them as they come. Look at them as they come. Now, as they're coming, if you say, Pastor Suarez, it's been a long time for me. And I'm not judging you. I'm just saying. In fact, let me say it another way so that you'll feel cool. You say, Pastor Suarez, I want a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit tonight. I want to be baptized in that fire again. Would you lift your hand if that's you? All right, if you got your hand up, would you come and stand around them? Just come. Say, Pastor Suarez, I want a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost tonight. Hallelujah. Keep coming. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. I'm waiting on you. There's still more coming. Somebody give God praise for what he's doing in this house tonight. The Bible says this promise is unto you, unto your children's children, and yea, even those that are afar off. Tonight, after the Holy Ghost falls on you, you walk from this day forward in resurrection power. Resurrection power. It's the Spirit that can raise the dead back to life. It's the Spirit that can heal your body. It's the Spirit that can bring you out of poverty and bring you into abundance. It's the Spirit that can bring you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. It's the Spirit that breaks all generational curses tonight. It's the Spirit that empowers you. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit that moved upon the face of the waters when there was nothing, but because God spoke, the Spirit moved, and the Spirit caused everything to come into something, came out of nothing because the Spirit moved. And if that's true in Genesis, imagine what it can do in your family. Hallelujah. If there's anyone else, I'll wait on you. This church has such a massive altar. And again, just respectfully, I'm no pressure. But if a few of you just kind of stretch out over maybe this way a little bit, just maybe a little bit this way. And now, all these people have come have either are seeking it for the first time, or people have come saying they want a fresh baptism. If you didn't come, and again, I'm no pressure, but if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're full of the power of God, I want you to come now and stand behind all of these people, because I want you to help me create the atmosphere for the Holy Spirit. So I'm waiting on you to come. I'm waiting for worship with wonders to surround some of these people. I'm waiting for some of you tongue-talking, spirit-filled people. I'm not here tonight promoting tongues. I'm here tonight promoting the power of the Holy Ghost. Make no mistake. I'm here tonight promoting the power of the Holy Ghost.